Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Style Over Substance with me, Scarlett.
And I'm Mem.
And today we are doing a bit of a...
like a catch-up episode.
A catch-up episode.
Yeah, with like all the news. Because we haven't been around for a few weeks. I think we have a lot that we need to cover and chat about.
Yeah, I think a few things have gone on and we just kind of want to cover our bases.
Yeah.
And make sure we get to put our little two cents in about these topics.
About really serious international affairs.
News reporter.
Yeah. So, first thing, you've been watching The Kardashians.
Of course.
And I haven't been watching it because whatever.
Cardinalson.
Yeah, maybe it's on Hulu, isn't it?
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, you know, I need to actually log into Disney Plus and actually watch it.
I really enjoy the format.
Is it better than Keeping Up?
A little bit.
What's different about it?
They break the fourth wall a bit more.
Oh.
They're not trying to like pretend they're not being filmed. They interact kind of with producers a bit more.
Oh,
it's just
yes.
A little bit more relaxed, which like I much more prefer.
Because
after all this time, like I just think
we all know what the deal is.
And actually, like they touch even on like the rapport they have with certain people. But anyway, the last two episodes have covered when Kim was creative director
for the
D&G show.
Mm.
And I just didn't realize how involved she was. And like, I know, as you kind of pointed out when we were discussing it, it's a marketing tool, the TV show.
Yeah, I don't know to what extent I can believe that she's involved in it, or if like Dolce & Gabbana have kind of allowed the Kardashians to give the illusion that she was really more involved than she was.
Yeah, but like, so she essentially, the idea of the show was like, it was sort of revisiting archives.
Mm-hmm.
She pulled out loads of looks and then they sort of reinvented them, or basically it's often like, I think they kind of used her as a bit of a muse of like, you've worn so many of our looks over the years, we love like how you wear them.
Okay,
you are like a huge muse for us.
Yeah.
And I think, like, supposedly it all unfolded around Courtney's wedding-ish, which was D&G themed. Like, they were all wearing it. And I think it was kind of like, I think we should work together and kind of use your vision.
Yeah.
And so none of them that I'm aware of were, like, designed from scratch looks.
Okay, makes sense.
Like, they all had a little tag saying which year they were paying homage to, or, like, that, you know, was what original a runway show it was from type of a thing.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because normally, well, I don't want to say normally, but in the past, when a brand has had a muse like Jane Birkin or like Lady Diana, they would have bags designed and named after them, or maybe not designed after them, but for example, Princess Diana Spencer, it was like her favourite Dior bag was renamed after her. And then, obviously, Jane Birkin had a bag designed for her.
Yeah.
And then we have, I think, I'm an old lady, so I really like Tory Burch. But she has a bag called Lee Rizowitz or something. And she was like a socialite. And so that bag was designed with her. She's passed, I think, but designed with her in mind and named after her because she embodies the spirit of the brand.
Yeah.
And so that is typical, as opposed to now, where we've seen in the past couple years the new appointments of celebrities as creative directors or as collaborators to bring about these new collections, new quote-unquote, or as you've said, like archival curations.
Yeah.
That's kind of new.
Yeah, and actually, like, I don't know what this D&G bag is called, but, like, there was just, like, just a huge lineup of one of their most famous bags, but just variations of them.
Oh, the one with the top handle, yeah, with the little gold plaque on the side. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, nothing was new. From what I understand, it was all pulled together really quickly. It wasn't like we're planning this 1 year in advance, so therefore we're, like, designing, like, twirling, all of that stuff. Mm. It was, like, a four-month process, potentially, like, which really isn't that long when you're in the fashion cycle. So it was quite literally just, like, revamping and curating old things.
See, that's what makes me think, like, Kim really didn't have anything to do with this. She was a means to promote what plans they already had.
Yeah.
You know, like, we want to... You know, we're living in the Y2K era. Let's bring back all our most famous 90s pieces. Who can we call who's going to be game? Because everyone hates D&G. And, and who's going to be willing to kind of market the fuck out of this on our behalf? And Kim and her entire family, let's face it, because of the wedding, they were like game.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of the thing that struck me the most is that they kind of got away with not designing a collection.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, think D&G, like Dolce and Gabbana. Yeah. Like, they are creative. So they must have had this. I know it was in the pipeline for a while, but it must have also got to a point where it needed to happen. Because it was a curated collection. I know I think they did make something in black, or they made stuff in other colours, but you've already at least then got the pattern, you've got everything, so it makes it a faster process.
Yeah.
But, like, there's something I think incredibly cool that you've got that much of a catalogue to just, like, reissue. That's something actually really cool in itself.
Yeah.
And I'd almost love to see that there's just, like, a best of, like... Fashion Week. Do you know what I mean?
That'd be good.
That'd be really cool.
That's such a good idea. But I think with D&G as a brand is, like, they're not like other brands that seek to, like, reinvent themselves every collection.
We've got the same silhouette. Let's add a different floral print.
Let's do this, like, Italian holiday, like, 1960s, like...
Le Dolce Vita.
Heavily floral dresses and gold accessories, but they have a market for that and people buy into that heavy because it is a cute aesthetic, you know.
Yeah.
And that's their lane, and I, you know what, I respect a brand that knows what they do well and they do it and people buy into that because that's what they offer. And so it's not that bad for them to not create a collection from scratch. Yeah. I mean, yes, is it lazy? Yeah, pretty much, because you can always modernize old things, but
I think that's what they were, like, using Kim to do, is even if it's just the styling, the hair, the makeup, was like injecting, like you said, 90s is cool, let's just show you all the stuff that we gave you then. And like you said, I think that they saw it as a business opportunity to, like, jump off the back of, we just designed and curated Courtney's whole wedding.
Yeah.
How can we keep this running for another year, 6 months, and, like, you know, monopolize this the most?
Yeah, that's true. I will say that I really liked that fully, you know, that really tight dress she wore, and it was like, completely glitter.
Was it black? The black one?
No, the silver one.
That she could barely move it.
I did like that look on her. I thought it was nice, and she started wearing, like, the little bouffant. Very, like, 60s kind of hairstyle. I did like the look. I did like the aesthetic, but you know what?
But you know what? Her figure just looks like...
Oh, she relies on that body all the time.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, does everyone look good in that? Who knows? They gifted her a diamond cross necklace.
Oh, the one that she was, like, donning for a while.
Yeah. And, like, I know she got paid to do it because they talk quite candidly in the Kardashians because it's the thing of a feud with Courtney because of her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like they're saying, you know, this was a paid opportunity for Kim. Like this is a business decision for her to be making.
Yeah.
And also I think even just as a personal thing for her, she'd been styled by Kanye for so long that like she is desperate for her own fashion credentials. Do you know what I mean? And so I think any steps towards that she is willing to take. But like they made it quite obvious that there was clearly like a paycheck involved.
Yeah, Kim doesn't do anything for free. This. Come on.
But like to be gifted, like that necklace was kind of unreal. And then she said it was quite sentimental because all her jewelry's obviously got stolen. And then she hasn't really replenished it since then.
Oh.
And I thought, so now you've got something else to be stolen.
You know what? That's a good one. Yeah, that's true. She isn't a big jewelry person.
She's not. No.
Yeah.
It was a surprising collaboration. It's the first time D&G have worked with someone. And I think my point kind of when I was raising this with you is like, I didn't get any of that when we first saw the collaboration. I didn't get like, I think whether it was the Kardashians in hindsight trying to communicate this to people.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't get that it was meant to be quite a momentous thing that D&G have never collaborated before. Like, I thought she was just putting her name to some things.
It's because it was in the wake of Courtney's wedding, which I think overshadowed everything, if I'm honest. I don't follow D&G like that, so I didn't know that they've never done something like this or to this extent. So that is kind of interesting. I don't know if we ever spoke about your opinion on sponsored weddings.
I mean, I think it's kind of crazy.
I think it's weird, and especially in... now that we are like post Sophia Richie wedding watershed,
yeah,
a whole cultural reset for weddings, I think.
Yep.
Celebrity weddings, anyway. We went from Courtney having a very kind of romantic, religious iconography wedding, mm-hmm.
Where all the family wore D&G.
Yeah, there was a lot of it was rich in color and fabric and design and lace and all of that. And that was quite shocking to us because, for the simple fact, the type of dress she wore, it was short, lacy, see-through. And when we couple that with the idea of a Catholic, mm-hmm. an Italian Catholic wedding, that's not a very Catholic thing to wear. and then it was sponsored, essentially, and it was like, wow, we didn't know you could sell your wedding, essentially. Yeah. And then after that, Sophia Richie's wedding, which was completely different, I think we have two really stark examples of celebrity weddings. Yeah. And I think that what we probably thought was maybe intriguing and interesting with Courtney, we've all kind of collectively decided like, nah, that's not it. That's not the one.
Yeah, I think the right partnership to have with a designer for your wedding is the kind of thing like Sophia had, where like, and I like, and often from what like I've seen with different celebrity weddings too, it is that you maybe just choose a designer and that's who you go with for all your dresses for the day. Okay. And that is it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they do your bridesmaids dresses, but maybe they don't. But like, I'm pretty sure when Kim got married to Chris Humphries, wow,
that wedding was a big deal.
But like, I'm pretty sure then that it was all her dresses were Vera Wang. I'm pretty sure the bridesmaids' dresses were Vera Wang.
They were.
And that, I think, is a normal partnership.
Yes.
But also Vera Wang is a bridal designer.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that makes sense. But for, like, and don't get me wrong, we, like, were surmising that Sophia Richie was going to wear a Chanel dress because she was wearing Chanel up until her wedding day.
Uh-huh.
But she was kind of doing it, like, subtly. She wasn't trying to be like a Chanel poster girl, whereas like I think the Kardashian D&G thing was like there was no doubt who they were wearing at any given opportunity. It was really clear that like, and in the days up to it, like it was just Sophia wearing Chanel.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that there was a clear distinction about the partnership between D&G and Courtney and Chanel and Sophia in that it felt like Courtney's wedding felt sponsored. Mm. It genuinely did, because all the family wore very obviously D&G looks before the wedding, after the wedding, during the wedding. And whereas you're right, as far as we could tell, it was Chanel was designing for Sophia for her wedding. And it wasn't like Chanel, I mean, Nicole didn't wear Chanel.
No.
She wore Alberta Ferretti. Yeah.
I was about to call it Alberta Ferrari.
So it was just like, as you said, it was just Sophia wearing Chanel. It wasn't like the whole wedding thing was like...
And yeah. If that was a Kardashian wedding, he would have been.
Yeah, it wasn't like the invites had black and white bows. Yeah. And then it had like Chanel number 5 crests everywhere. But that's how Courtney's wedding felt. From a, it felt like a brand trip.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's how it looked to me anyway.
That's so true. Yeah.
But yeah. Hmm. So we mentioned before kind of collaborating with designers and being creative directors in some sense. We have to talk about Miss Molly May.
Miss Molly May stepped down.
Yeah. So if you don't know, I mean, you probably know who Molly May is. Former Love Islander. She was like she was the single most successful Islander to come out of Love Island.
Yeah.
Not only did she leave and with a partner, but she
will
made
be now because there's an internet rule on Love Island. I'm pretty sure like there can't be internet memes and internet discussion. Like there's an internet ban on Love Island.
What do you mean?
Like, well, I don't watch it anymore, but I don't see anything. Like I used to get memes and memes and memes. Like I'm pretty sure Love Island is banned from like discussion on the internet.
Really? Because I don't watch it either, but I've seen stuff about Love Island. I've seen a lot of like,
but it's trying to be more positive. Like there were points where like, I think it was sort of the last series was when like Faye went ballistic. But like the people would come out being hated and people would come out being trolled. And I think it's basically to remove that.
Mm.
But then obviously subsequently, I don't think you can get as famous out of it because there's not the hype there. That's what I've noticed, but I also don't watch it anymore to know if that's like very true. But I think the Molly May was kind of the first person who really like
she made an incredible amount of money leaving the island, and she was even within the villa she was known as one of them who dressed one of the best. I always remember she had amazing hair extensions.
This is what we used to talk about. That she did her whole look.
All the time.
Her hair, her makeup, like everything.
Yeah, she always looked great. And you could tell that she really thought about her looks. And she left the island. But it helped that she was petite, skinny, blonde. Mm. Let's be honest. She left the island and like collaborated with the usual suspects, Boohoo, Pretty Little Thing sort of brands. And then she just made a lot of money. Her YouTube grew. And then at the end, towards the end, she became creative director for Boohoo. Pretty Little Thing. Same company, but Pretty Little Thing. And on the podcast, we discussed her appointment because it was at a time when Kendall Jenner had also been appointed for Forward. It was a website. I don't know, but it was...
Goodness knows.
Does she even know? And we were discussing, you know, the validity of celebrities and people who've never really worked in the industry as getting the top job. Mm. Now Molly May has decided that she's going to step away from her role, resign, I suppose, in order to dedicate her time to being a mother.
I don't know why, and I don't know if this is super cynical. I just kind of think there might be a different undertone.
In what sense?
That like maybe the job A is maybe not what she thought it was going to be.
Oh.
Or maybe it wasn't like they were paying her £5 million. That means she has to at least be like adding that much into the company. But like for sure she should be adding way more than that to the company, right?
That's a good point.
And I think it's a really challenging time for fast fashion and those kinds of companies. So I wonder also if it just is not the right time for her to be doing that either. Because I'm saying she's not necessarily going to have this wave for loads longer. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything dies down eventually. The Kardashians are not a good example.
I was going to use them as an example.
But they've been riding the wave, but like, that's so different. And there's a TV show. She's only probably got like another 5 years left of like her insane fame.
Do you think?
She's a mum now. Like, she's not going to be able to be as available online. She's not going to be able to slog her guts out.
I honestly think she's a hustler. I would not be surprised if she comes out with something up her sleeve already. Like, she doesn't strike me as someone who's going to just leave a job without having an idea of either how she's going to transition. Maybe she's going to go down the baby route. I really hope she doesn't, because I feel like there's a lot of... I'm not a mum, so don't crucify me. But I feel like women who become mothers, their whole brand suddenly becomes revolved around being a mother. But men never do that. They never be like, here's my baby and father line, you know? Here's the, like baby and me swimming trunks collection, you know? whereas that does happen. And I think
her and Tommy should get a TV show.
No, not Tommy.
I mean, I actually just loathe him so much.
The Furies.
But, like...
Is that his real surname?
It's probably not. Like, I loathe that family. But they've got to have something up their sleeve, because you aren't going to leave behind £5 million.
You're not.
Like, you're a businesswoman. She's got a lot of outgoings, for sure. Like, they're accustomed to a lifestyle.
I think also...
He doesn't make nearly as much money as she does.
No.
Like, he just made the most money he's ever made when he fought Logan Paul.
And he's got to get beaten up to get paid.
And also, like, his career is on the line every time.
Yeah.
And, like, he's actually got loads of adverts out of that. He's Diesel, Only the Brave.
Stop it. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
I mean, if I were anyone wearing that scent, I wouldn't wear it anymore.
It's for, I think it would capture a younger audience.
I also think he's maybe, like, he's got quite a few adverts out of this. Like, I feel like one of them might be, like, Tesco. Really? There's definitely like a supermarket or food related one. He's done okay. Yeah.
I think Molly's probably really helped with that.
For sure.
I think
Mr. Personality.
I think that her giving up this role probably opens her up to multiple opportunities. You can't work as creative director, for Pretty Little Thing and also be working with other brands and promoting them simultaneously. Right, I think that, you know, contractually that wouldn't work. And so I think that she, honest to God, I think she, I'm surprised Amazon hasn't offered her a collection. That's easier work. That's easy money as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe in a few months we're going to see kind of what comes out of it or that kind of a thing. But also, yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm being cynical and I think there's something maybe that like, but my gut instinct was this wasn't working for both parties. Because I think I literally don't understand how Pretty Little Thing can be earning. You should probably want to be earning 3 times somebody's salary to justify them, right?
Yeah.
How are they getting that much out of Molly May being there? Like, maybe they are, but I'm not their consumer.
I think you're right in that I think there's, in terms of trends, we've transitioned into something else. Of course, there are always going to be young women out there and young guys who want to buy into, you know, those sorts of looks. They're really affordable. They're really accessible. And they're going to continue to make money. But I think as a boom, like they had in the past few years.
Yeah. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's not going to be the same. And then we look at ASOS. ASOS is struggling as well. They're always offering something.
I think they're doing that. There was one point where genuinely there was a sale most days.
Yeah.
And it felt desperate. But yeah, I think it's a tough time.
Mm.
I mean, we even have to look at the sale window now. That it's like a sale for a month.
Oh my god, let's talk about it. Yeah. It is.
But that's really I think it's harmful for us as a consumer, because you're just inundated with sale. It's for so long. And that means that if you resist it once, you were done before, right? It would be a week-long sale. You resist the Zara sale, okay, I'm safe until another 6 months. Now
it goes on for months.
It literally is like until the stock is flogged and gone.
And you know what? Okay, so I was looking
then
on.
Then they reduce it more.
It's June, and sales started a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think Zara sale has only just started.
Yeah.
And that is going to run right the way through August. Yeah, I think so. And they'll have like the dribs and drabs by that point, but we'll still have sale. There'll still be a bargain to be had across stores. I was on Mango and I was just like browsing and I saw this jumper, not for now because it's way too hot for it, but it was like, oh, that's a good jumper for work. You know, it's the sort of thing that I like wear. And I thought, oh, I want to get that color. Look for my size. The size was out of stock. So it said like, sign up, we'll put your email down and we'll notify you when it comes back in. They did. And someone had like snapped up the size like straight away. And then I went back onto the website and they had all the sizes available. And it's a sale item. It's £20 and they had all the sizes up. And I am convinced that they've just produced a whole load of them, knowing that the demand is there because everyone signed up for their size. And they're just going to continue to produce. Yeah. You know how you have specially made for outlet stores. I'm sure
they'll be using like second tier fabric for it, like
thing. Or even if it's not second tier fabric, they know it's selling in the sale. Let's put another run in and we know that we can milk it for another month. And that's why the sales are going on for so long, because the demand to buy is there. People are ready in the summer to spend because they anticipate sales. So they think, instead of just like running it down, depleting the stock, and then we don't have that style again, let's make another round of it and let's sell it at half price because we know it's going to get, like, it's going to sell. So I think that these brands have found the trick. Like, if sales run on for 2 months, we can make all this stuff again. We can sell it again. Yeah, at a cheaper price, but a higher volume.
Yeah.
And that's how they're making a ton of money.
It's honestly, it's mad. Like, it's actually mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's desensitizing things. And I'm now like, for sure, I don't buy a single thing full price on ASOS.
Oh, no.
Because why would I?
Yeah.
But they've made a rod for their own back now.
Mm.
And like, and also, like, my dad always used to like make comments on like, if I'd be like, oh, this wine was reduced, or like, oh, this wine had, he's like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
They market it at that other price.
Yeah.
They can do these offers and this is the price it was meant to be. Like, and this is now the issue, is are things going to be especially like put on ASOS because they now know that people are only going to buy things when it's the 20% off code, which they do multiple times a month. So now everyone knows to wait for it.
Really, multiple times a month? Jesus Christ.
For sure. That it will always be on around payday, a bank holiday, but like for sure there's four times a month, or like there'll be this code.
Mm.
And so like, what, like, I'll wait for this code. So is that also meaning that maybe they're going to be putting stuff on at a heightened price, so that when it comes to the 20% off, that's maybe the price they're happy for it to come out as?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like working in like merchandising and buying, that's definitely the tactic.
And so then obviously like, and like maybe that's also just what's happening now with sale items too. If they know something's going to go on sale, we know that Zara definitely produces things just to essentially put them in sale.
Well, they have that section special prices, don't they? That's like a continuous sale area for them.
So it's just like, it's a really, I think it's quite problematic. And it's also making consumers, I think it makes us quite greedy. I think it's like, we all think that if we've got a bargain, it's like a steal. But then obviously the bargain culture means that you often buy something that you don't want because it's cheaper. And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like we all need a course in like how to like be savvy when it comes to price reduction.
Yeah, I suppose so. Another thing we want to talk about is Pharrell and his latest collection, men's collection at Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Because we brought, when his appointment was first announced, we had an episode and we discussed about, you know, our belief in Pharrell. He was the original musician turned fashionista turned designer back when we were growing up. Yeah. And we felt like, he's definitely going to do like a fab job of this because, you know, he was Kanye before Kanye in regards to having that design eye and being able to move through different industries like that. So what did you think of how he did?
I loved it. I had high hopes for him anyway, but he smashed it. Like, because we haven't really seen that side of him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, maybe it was cool back then, but like, and I don't know if I'm giving him too much credit, but I really feel like he would have been heavily involved. I think he's, and like, I would say the same of a Kanye. I don't think he's the kind of person that's going to put his name to something unless he has like fully like dotted the I's, crossed the T's on a collection that he believes in.
Yeah.
And I also just don't think that that's what Louis Vuitton want. Like, there is a lot of work that goes into things like this. They don't want just like whether Molly Mae did anything. They don't want a Kendall Jenner. Just a name there. They actually want someone.
They're hiring someone like, to do a job. Genuinely, you've got to be working.
Yeah,
I do not.
You'll
think
be working some hours.
One thing about that Arnaud guy, the richest man in Europe, or whatever, he knows a thing or two about business.
Yeah,
and no one is messing up his euros. Like, he's. Honest to God, I really don't think he would appoint anyone just for clout or just for marketing. He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Louis Vuitton does not need someone who's going to post about them on Instagram. Do you know?
Honestly, he injected such a coolness.
Yeah.
That I think Louis Vuitton maybe hasn't had for a little bit. But like, you know what? Louis Vuitton like had a real moment with some of like, I think with 90s revival, like with some of their like, pochette, whatever they're called, like bags. I think like the monograms having a real moment. I think that street style, like all of that, like I feel like the monogram is so 90s anyway. Like that's what it reminds me of. Okay. It's like Speedies, like all these little bags. Like I think of that. And I think he's just like added like it back on like the street scene. He's added like that checkerboard stuff was just so cool in denim, in tailoring. It was just really cool. Like I haven't been that excited and like I love menswear.
Yeah,
when menswear like slaps, menswear is just like the perfect thing to look at.
Yeah,
and I think he just made a really cool menswear show.
Same. I think he's done really well and he gave us what we were expecting, which I
he
don't
shut down a fucking bridge.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Bridge in Paris,
exactly. And it's like, it was a power move. That's a really big power move when you can convince the brand. Of course, like LVMH owns France. I'm convinced. Like anything they want to do in Paris,
yeah,
the the government is going to be like, yeah, cool, yeah, shut down the bridge. Like, it's fine. You are, days, like, sure, you're, like, ambassador to our entire country. That's how I feel. Like, anything Louis Vuitton want to do,
yeah,
they pick up the phone to the French president, and it happens if that's what they want. And it's such a power move to shut down a whole bridge, have invite a ton of people. I feel like there was anyone who was anyone, everyone, yeah, who was, yeah, anyone was invited. And it was, there was a choir, live music. I think it was an orchestra. The music for the show was almost like a Steven Spielberg show. It was like theatrical and like cinematic. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of models as well. And normally I don't like, I think my only criticism is when you've got too many looks.
Yeah.
I do believe there is a thing as too many looks.
Yeah.
And the key pieces get lost in the show. And then what happens is the next collection, unless you're doing something completely different, it can feel very samey, yeah, because it's like, well, that's very similar to the other 1,000 pieces you sent down, yeah, the runway, yeah, last time. So I felt like there was a lot of models and a lot of looks. But undeniably, there was a strong theme. The camouflage Damien Benn print, for those who who don't necessarily want the LV, as you were saying, like, you're not the biggest fan of the LV monogram as such, but this other version is,
and it's so much more menswear. That's what, like, the menswear bags they market.
Yeah.
The backpack for men comes in the checkerboard.
Yes.
Like, that is, like, for me, that is the men's answer to the monogram sometimes.
I think it's fallen out. I don't know if it's the men's version, but it has fallen out of favour in women's wear.
Yeah.
For sure. It, yeah, was, for a little bit, that cream and blue, yeah, yeah, one,
yeah, yeah,
felt quite dated,
yeah, yeah,
or it felt kind of fake,
yeah,
in the women's wear, yeah, bags, yeah, it was like no one was touching that for a while.
That's so true. I forgot even about that colorway.
I still like it, but it just felt fake sometimes.
But I think because it was copied so much,
exactly,
you know?
And that's a good point, because him bringing back the print, it doesn't,
I
feel
dare you to copy it.
It doesn't, oh, it's gonna get a copy, oh mate, like, it's copied already, probably.
Yeah.
But people are no longer afraid to buy into it now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When you've got a brand as old as Louis Vuitton, you have to bring back your old stuff. The stuff that you're, yeah, known for, you can't completely abandon it. You have to keep reinventing those, because it's those markers that last 100, 200 years.
For sure.
Is what makes your brand a heritage brand. You can't give up on it. It's like Van Cleef & Arpels no longer doing those little, like, lily pad looking.
Yeah.
I don't buy the brands, so I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the Alhambra,
it looks like a
collection.
Flavor.
Yeah, the four leaf shamrock thing. they can't abandon that. Even if it's seen as corny, even if it's seen as played out, they have to just reinvent it.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the first thing I would do if I was hired to be creative director of a heritage brand is I would go through the archives.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would go through, like, and especially anything that is like, LV with their prints, like old logos. Or I think you've got to look at that stuff, and you've got to look at the bones of a company, and like, and you've got to pay an homage to where you're working. I don't think you want to just like throw everything out and
no.
like, this is what I want you to be.
No.
Because the reality is, you're designing to a brief for a brand, like, there's been hundreds of years before him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he smashed it. He added, like, some modern day to it, but also really used what the company already has.
Mm.
And there's, like, this clip, basically, that was, like, doing the rounds on TikTok. There was kind of, like, Anna Wintour giving him the nod, because there was, like, a bag that she really liked.
Oh.
And it was, like, the seal of approval from Anna.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And I think he's going to have, like, the next show is going to be tough. You're right. And then with that many looks too, I think it's going to be really tough for him. Like, it's now, does he use the checkerboard again? Does he throw that completely out the window?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a really weird... But interesting thing to watch.
Yeah. I think the next collection is going to play on the checkerboard again, on the Damier Ben, whatever it's called. Because
if he can design some nice bags, I'd be really thrilled.
For women's wear?
I mean, I'll buy a man's
for either.
Bag,
okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. The thing is next collection
I'd love
that
to
comes
see this
out
creep into women's wear, but I also kind of
it's not going to.
Yeah.
Unless they get rid of Nicholas. The next collection in 6 months or whatever, because they're going to be working on it from now.
Yeah.
We're not going to have the time to have this collection in production, in stores, see sales long enough for the sales to kind of like dampen to say, okay, let's pivot into something else.
Yeah.
Like you've almost got to just stick with the plan for a little bit and give it enough time to pick up momentum and sales and see how it goes. So I think he's going to play on similar themes and similar ideas and whatnot. It's just going to come in like summer colors, really. It's just it's going to be yellow and greens and stuff. But yeah, I think he did well.
Smashed it.
Another thing is Hunter the Boots, the Wellies, they've gone into administration.
I can't believe that. Are they British? They must
yeah.
be. A British heritage
headquartered
brand.
Headquartered in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I kind of, I'm 100% they'll be bought out and rescued by somebody,
mm-hmm.
but it's more surprising for them just to even be in that position in the first place because, those are the Wellies you want to own.
They are status Wellies.
It's the same as a barber jacket.
Definitely.
And there's enough country bumpkins out there that wouldn't be caught dead without their barber jacket and their Hunter Welly boots.
Yeah. And supposedly, the explanation or the reason for going into administration, they said that supply chain issues, in the wake of the pandemic
right.
and all that. I mean, we saw that with a lot of brands. Supply chain issues made it really difficult to trade.
Yeah.
It dampened sales as well because it was like, I guess, people didn't need boots when they're at home. But then the Insider magazine said that they also blamed it on climate change. I was like, I'm not a climate scientist, but I haven't seen that explanation.
We've had enough rain. We've had enough rain.
I really don't think it explains £100 million worth of debt.
There's enough rain out there. I also think festival season, all of that stuff, maybe that's not the vibe right now for Glastonbury, but it comes around.
Yeah.
And that's also on them to make them marketable, but for sure they would be welly to be wearing at festivals. There's enough people with dogs in this country. Everyone bought a dog in COVID.
Yes.
That if you're walking your dogs in winter, you want some wet weather protection.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? You know how Swarovski.
I think it's quite scary to try and use the climate.
It's.
But I also could be saying it in the most naive way and maybe climate change is meaning that they. Their production is not contributing to climate change. I don't know. Maybe they're being responsible.
Honestly, I don't know what they meant by that. I really don't want to. So I don't want to say it's a weak excuse, but I genuinely.
It's a bizarre excuse, though.
It was bizarre. I was going to say that Swarovski has done a really impressive turnaround. They appointed a new creative director who was also a. Was she a magazine editor and also influencer online? I used to follow her for years. Anyway, they had this whole redesign and they came out with all these new pieces and new jewelry and all that stuff. I think we spoke about it a couple of years ago. But that's what Hunter needs. It needs a creative direction because I think most people just think wellies are wellies. You either get the grey one.
Do you think it's the rise of Crocs?
Oh my gosh. Maybe.
Because there's croc boots now.
There are.
And filled in crocs with no holes.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. And crocs, they collaborated with Balenciaga. They've got the sandals,
I just wonder
crocs.
If Because, like, Hunter doesn't need to be wellies. It could be any rubber-based shoes.
Yes. I think you're onto something, because I wear my Crocs and so do other people in the garden.
But that is also not replacing you wearing Wellington boots.
It's not, but it gives Hunter boots fewer scenarios in which to be worn.
Yeah.
So whereas you might buy one pair of boots to walk the dog in and another to do your gardening in and another to, like, I don't know if you own a horse, because I feel like Hunter boot wearing people own horses, to the stables.
Yeah.
Now you might just be wearing your Crocs in the garden.
Yeah.
Crocs to the stables. Hunter boots to walk the dog. Like, you don't need so many pairs,
right?
Because remember, in the 2010s and the noughties, Hunter boots was going through a renaissance.
Yeah.
And everyone in Glasgow, I bet Glasgow this year is full of Crocs. Not so sure about the presence of Hunter boots.
There's also no threat of rain either, I think.
But you would bring something in case it rains.
There is a real, like, Croc renaissance. Like, we had this, like, conversation in the office, because I am not a Croc wearer and I don't see that changing.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
But, like, from whoever I've spoken to, they're like, I was like that till I bought a pair.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, and then they have a house pair, and then they have an outdoor pair.
It's game over.
And literally one of my work colleagues, she's, like, an associate director, she's like, I've bought 5 pairs in the last month. She never owned them before. And she's just obsessed now.
Did I not show you that TikTok some time ago of that woman who was in her car and she was like, let me tell you something. The day you buy the fur-lined Crocs is the day your life is over. I don't own fur-lined ones because I feel like they would be difficult to clean, but I own Crocs and it's spread like wildfire to everyone I know, and it's hard to beat as a house shoe, honestly.
It's just not for me.
Yeah, well. That's what everyone says.
I just want them to look a bit nicer.
They can. You can buy little charms. So.
You can buy all sorts.
You're wearing Adidas slides, so.
Yeah.
It's not like they're fine, but it. But to say, like,
but I would
those look
outside
nicer
too. I couldn't.
I don't wear my Crocs outside.
I couldn't wear my Crocs outside.
You just need self-control, and a lot of people don't have that.
And also, I'm saying that as if I always look nice when I go outside. I don't. I look trash sometimes when I go outside, so I don't know. I think I need no extra reason to look trash. Maybe it's that.
So RIP to Hunter boots. I think a Chinese or an Indian company is going to buy it, because in all due respect, a lot of British brands, heritage brands, whether it's car brands, clothing brands, tech brands, whatever, that are like British founded, get bought by foreign investment.
Mm.
Yeah, foreign investment abroad, obviously. And so I think because there is so much appeal for heritage British brands elsewhere, someone with a lot of money will be able to, like, revive the brand. And there's value in Hunter, the name.
For sure.
Like, it's history of being, you know, commissioned to make the official wellies for soldiers in trenches in, I think, the First or Second World War. That history can't be, it will never, like, vanish, you know? So, yeah, I don't think it's the end for Hunter either. Yeah.
Guess we'll have to watch this space.
Mm-hmm. Any other news you wanted to discuss? No. Well, let us know what you thought about the topics we discussed this week. What do you think about D&G, Kim Kardashian, Hunter,
Pharrell,
celebrity weddings? Leave your opinions in the comments. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and all kinds of podcast listening players. And we'll see you next week, guys. Bye.
Hmm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.